friends. And then you get into a lengthy passage here in the book of Job when it's God asking several questions. So the book of Job is a book of questions largely. And I made a list of a few of the most important questions that Job answers. And then I started comparing those questions with the New Testament. And you know what I found? And this will bless you. Every question Job asked was answered by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And so I'm just going to list four or five, but I've got a list of about 30. These are questions that Job asked, and he didn't get an answer to them, at least in his lifetime. But now that we have a New Testament, we know Jesus comes along and he answers every one of Job's questions. Either Jesus answers himself, or the New Testament tells us that Jesus is the answer to that question. So let's jump in. The first question Job asked that we're going to look at tonight is found in chapter 3. Look at verse 11. Job chapter 3, verse 11. So I guess we could title this message here tonight, Jesus Answers Job. Jesus answers Job. Job chapter 3, verse 11. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Isn't that a question? Job is saying to himself, why didn't I just die in my mother's womb? Why wasn't I born a stillborn? Why wasn't I aborted at birth? What he's saying is, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? It's a pretty heavy question, folks. Job was in a time of great agony and a time of great sorrow here. His world had fallen apart. All of his children had died. His wife had suggested that he curse God and die. And he comes to the place, and you may have been there, I don't know. Maybe some place in your life, a dark time in your life, maybe you wondered, what's the purpose of it all? Why am I here? And I find John chapter 9, Jesus answers him. John chapter 9. So if you haven't figured out yet, we're going to be flipping from Job to the New Testament quite a bit. So get the arthritis out of your thumbs. I heard a couple of those bones in there cracking, some of you. And I'm just asking you to turn to the New Testament because I want you to see for yourself how Jesus, in fact, does answer Job. All right, Job's question was, what's the purpose of my life? Why didn't I just die at birth? John 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. According to Jesus Christ, do you know why men were born? You know why man was born? That he might show the works of God. Why are you here? What was the purpose of Job's life? To be used of God. That's your purpose. I know God spoke in this particular context about a man born blind, but whether you were born blind or not, your purpose for being here is to glorify God with your life and to be used for His glory. I wonder what these millions of aborted babies could have done for the glory of God in our world. I wonder how many Bible preachers have been aborted. I wonder how many men who would grow up to perhaps be Christian leaders, how many women were aborted who could have been tremendous Sunday school teachers and bring children to Christ. I wonder how many church pews could have been filled by the babies who are now gone. You ever think about any of that? You ever think about these lives, these millions of lives? What could they have done for the Lord? What could they have done for the cause of Christ? Well, I know one thing, they're with Him now. His lives haven't been lost, but what they could have done, that opportunity was taken from them. So Job said, why didn't I just die from my mother's womb? Jesus said, you're born so that the works of God should be manifest in the way you live, even in your hard times. Here's the next question. Go back to Job chapter 6. So question number one, what's the purpose of my life? Answer is to glorify God with your life. Question number two is found in Job chapter 6. Job 6, verse 1. But Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were throughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt, or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Over and over again, Job says, I just wish somebody knew what I was going through. See those first two verses? Verse 2, oh, that my grief were throughly weighed, my calamities laid in the balances. Job said, I wish there was some way somebody could measure my heartache. That's what he said. Put them in a balance, a weight. Job's question, if you boil it down, is simply this. Does anybody know the pain I feel? That's what Job's saying. Does anybody know the heaviness of my heart? Job's saying, I just wish somebody could say, I know what you're going through, Job. And he's saying, I wish somebody could come along and say, Job, I know the weight of your trouble. I know your calamities. I know every tear you've cried. You know who came along and answered Job? You read about him in Hebrews chapter 4. So why don't you go find that? Hebrews chapter 4. There is somebody that knows. There is somebody who has taken your grief and put it in the balance and weighed it out. There is somebody who knows every tear you've ever cried. There is someone who knows the weight of your calamity. And that one that knows is the one who himself suffered. Look at Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the Bible said, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Here's the answer, Job. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Who knows Job's trouble? Jesus knows. This verse says here that Christ was tempted in every way you've ever been tempted. He knows every pain you've ever felt. Have you ever felt the heartache of a loved one dying? Jesus knows what that's about. In fact, when he wept, he was weeping at a grave of his friend, Lazarus. Anybody here ever been betrayed by someone who said they loved you? He knows what that means with Judas. Kissed him, deceived him. There's not an emotion that you've had, folks, that Jesus Christ hasn't had as well. Doesn't that comfort you? Some people have the idea God's way up there and we're way down here and there's no way he could possibly know what life is like here on earth. But he was here. Don't forget that. And he had flesh just like you have flesh. And he had the same troubles you have. And he had more troubles than you have. He knows. All right, Job, what's the next question? Turn to Job chapter 9. By the time we get through this, you'll realize what you probably already knew when you walked in tonight. Jesus is the answer. I don't care what the question is. No matter what the problem is, what the question is, Jesus is the answer. Trouble is, men aren't asking the right questions. You ask the right questions, you'll get the right answer. Job chapter 9. Look at Job's next question here. Here's the desire of his heart. Job chapter 9. I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? The answer is the same as the answer to question 1, 2, and 3. You want to know how a man can be just with God? You want to know how a man can be right with God? Jesus tells us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What's the answer to Job's question, how can a man be just with God? The answer is through faith in Jesus Christ. That word just means how can a man be justified? How can a man be right in God's sight? Pretty important question. I wish more people asked that question. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the billion, seven-something billion people on our globe really sincerely asked that question of themselves, how can I be right with God? We should be ready with the answer. Jesus is the answer. Here's the next question. If you're there in Job chapter 9, look at verse 33. Job 9, verse 33. It's an interesting term Job uses here that, as far as I can tell in Scripture, it's not used anywhere else. But Job 9, 33, Job said, "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both." Job is saying, I wish there was a daysman. I wish there was somebody who could go between me and God. I wish there was somebody, you see the phrase here, that might lay his hand upon us both. You folks have seen this, haven't you? I've demonstrated this before. But let's do it this way. Brother Vaughn, would you come meet me in the middle here? And Paul, you're closest. You stand up too, would you? I see these two men here at odds with each other. I mean, really, just they got a problem. They're just as far apart as East is from the West. There's some contention, and here's the kicker. They speak different languages. How are they going to resolve their differences? They can't even talk to each other, right?
Right.
Even know what each other's saying. Sounds like to me they need somebody, and Job calls him a daysman. That's what the Scripture says. Job said, I wish there was a daysman that could take his hand and lay on both of us. First of all, Job saying, God's the one seems to be sending this affliction. He didn't realize it was a devil at that time. Job, when he thought about his suffering, he thought, what's God doing to me? So here's God, imagine. Here's Job, and Job said, there's no way I can communicate with God. I try, but he's not listening to me. I can't speak his language. I just wish somebody would stand between me and God and be a mediator. You know what there was in Job's day? It was called a daysman. It was a man who'd come along, and they literally did this. This was literal. They would come, put the two men together, the two parties that were at odds with each other, and the go-between would lay his hand on one shoulder and the other hand on his shoulder, which would signify that he stands between these two warring parties. And the daysman had to be qualified to do that. He had to be able to speak both languages. So he can parlez-vous français and howdy y'all, do that together. And he could speak both languages. So I could take your complaint and express it in words you could understand. And I could take your complaint and express it in words you could understand. And then when they come to an accord, they're in agreement. Now, you know what Job said? Job said, I wish there was a daysman here. Job said, I'm down here on earth. God's up there. Heaven seems like they're brass. I can't get through to him. I wish somebody was standing between us to make things right. Guess who comes along in the New Testament? Jesus comes along and stands between man and God. And that's why Jesus had to be born a man, because he's already God. Mm-hmm. He had to be born of a virgin so that he would be both God and man. Mm-hmm. Because, see, if you're God, the mediator has to be able to speak your language. And if you're a man, the mediator has to be able to speak your language. So that verse we just read said Jesus Christ is tempted in all points like we are. Mm-hmm. He knows us. But he's also been God forever, so he knows you. Mm-hmm. Isn't it wonderful?
It is.
There's nobody else that could have been qualified to stand between God and man other than Jesus Christ. And so Paul comes along in the New Testament and Paul says there is one mediator between God and man. And then Paul says, the man, Jesus Christ. Paul said it just that way. He just didn't say Jesus Christ. He said, the man, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Both. All right, fellas, go to your corners and come out fighting. Folks, if you're saved here tonight, and I hope you are, I pray you are. If you're not, I pray you'd get saved. If you're saved here tonight, it's because someday a mediator came, stood between you and a righteous God, and he made peace between you. So, Job, do you want a daysman to come stand between you? Yes, I'd love one. Jesus Christ comes along, and I read the verse to you. If you want to write the reference down, it's 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read it. I quote it for you, but I don't want to miss a word. I don't want to miss it. I want to quote it. It's from 1 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul makes this statement in verse number 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That's the answer to Job's desire, to Job's question. And then, the last question we'll look at tonight is found in Job 14. So find Job chapter 14. And these are all powerful questions. When a man is as much trouble as Job was in, he doesn't talk about trivial things. When a man is in the kind of affliction Job's in, everything he says is of utmost importance. His questions aren't foolish questions. These four questions we've come up so far are pretty important questions. I mean, it's pretty important to know why you're here, why you didn't die in your mother's womb. It's pretty important to know if anybody else knows how you feel. It's pretty important to know if you can have a relationship with God, and if so, how. It's pretty important to know there's somebody who can stand between you and God. Those are important questions. And then one of the most important questions, Job in chapter 14, look at verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? Boy, that's an important question. Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? And the answer came from the lips of our Savior when he said in John 11:25, I'm going to read it to you. Now you stay there in Job 14 and you look at Job's question. He said, if a man die, shall he live? Here's what Jesus said. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yes, Job, if a man dies, he will live again. The next question should be, where will he live? Will he live in the lake of fire? Or will he live in the New Jerusalem? He will live again. Amen? He will live again. The next question is, where? And when you die, you will live again. The question is, where will you live? Job asked the question. Job got the answer. And if you're still there in Job 14, Job really makes a statement after that question. Look at it in verse 14. He knows that he'll live. I think Job understood that there would be life after death. And he knows it's going to be a very transforming thing. Back there in chapter 14, verse 14, he said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. He wasn't talking about making change with the Lord. I'm going to wait on my change. He's talking about I'll wait for my change. I will change to come. How's that going to happen, Job? Verse number 15, thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Job's looking forward to the resurrection. Job says, someday my Maker is going to call and I'll come forth. That's what you call the resurrection. And so Job asks these questions. Now, I've just given you five tonight. There are more. If you want to really know the truth about it, God fired back 76 questions back to Job a little later. Guess how many of them Job answered? Zero. You see, I've heard folks say, when I get to heaven, I've got a lot of questions for God. I don't think so. Job thought he had a lot of questions for God, and God said, all right, Job, before I answer your questions, you answer some of mine. And God started saying things like this to him. God said, where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job, where were you when I told the oceans that they can come this far and no further? Where were you, Job, when I made the heavens? And where were you when all the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you at, Job? You know what Job had to do? He had to kind of slink back in silence because he realized, how could a man answer God? I don't know what your question may be, and I don't know what your trouble may be. But if you've got a desire in your heart, if there's a need in your heart, need in your Christian life, I'll tell you the answer. Jesus is the answer. You need nothing more than what He can provide. And if you cannot obtain it in Jesus Christ, you don't need it. If Christ cannot satisfy the desire you have, it is an evil desire. If you can't get what you need from the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need it. And so, Job, are you satisfied with your answers?